Yeah, I just got done with rehearsals. I'm tired. I've been rehearsing all day, dancing, sweating, but I'm ready to do this talk show. I'm ready for you. You're a lot. You know that, right?
Yeah.
You're a lot to handle. You're a lot to handle, but I love it. I'm ready.
Awesome.
I really feel like a special person. You said we have a special treat. It sounds like I'm like a sexual candy bar or something like that. We got a Snickers bar, we got an Almond Joy, and we got a Donnell Rollins. Our special treat comes with chocolate and nougats and everything.
Yes. What was your first sexual experience with a man?
Well, I couldn't even tell you my first one, but I would say full-on intimacy, full sex. I was 14.
Wow, that's really young.
I don't think so.
Well, you know, we all have our... All right, so 14 years old and you had full-on sex with a male. Like,
right.
So was it somebody from school? Was it somebody older?
Some of my own age bracket. Actually, my father had a business colleague that he had become buddy with, and we were invited over to their family's house for dinner, and they had
children. And you were getting
children.
Busy with the son upstairs, and you thought he was hot, so he's having a little business dinner, and dad is breaking bread with a business client, and Justin's upstairs seducing, or was this guy already gay as well, or was it someone that was straight?
No, and to this day, actually, still not out to his family, because he just doesn't think they'd agree with it. But
wow.
No, I'm very, very masculine. You know, he's in the Air Force now, a very smart guy. And we still stay in touch. Like, we're still really great friends. And we were best friends and roommates for a long time after that.
Wow, cool. So did you actually have a relationship with this guy, or?
No, it was just a fuck buddy, in all honesty. But it was a long, it became more than that.
It was a long-term fuck buddy with a masculine male that, you know, was an out.
A friendship with benefits, but
okay.
Gotcha. It takes a special type of person to become a Chippendale, to be on that stage.
Right.
Just because you have a good body, or just because you may be good looking, it doesn't cut it.
Okay, so when you get a new dancer, right?
Yeah.
So when you get a new dancer, what are some of the things you find are the greatest challenges that you have to help them overcome?
Dancing.
The choreography.
Doing the choreography. Because the thing about the Chippendales, the thing about our guys, is most of them haven't grown up performing on stage. Most of these guys are athletes, so ex-football players and basketball players, and guys that, like, didn't maybe, you know, maybe they got hurt and they didn't make it to the big leagues or something happened. These are guys, most of the guys what you see on stage are not guys that have been in shows. So they're good looking and they've got a good body. Now I've got to teach them how to perform and how to be sexy. And here's the thing, like most of the dudes that are in the gym working out and stuff, their sexy is kind of douchebaggery. You know, it's like, don't do that. Yeah, that's douchey. Don't do that. You look like a tool bag. So we've got to strip away all that douchebaggery and that stripper mentality and teach them how to perform and how to be sexy for the ladies and how to make sense about that one lady in the audience.
You talk a lot about sexual fetishes. What are some of the more outlandish ones you think my listeners would be surprised about?
Oh, God, there's so many. I don't even know where to start. there's 560-something at last count, sort of formally identified clinical fetishes and paraphilias.
Mm.
And first of all, I should say that a true paraphilia means, if you have a paraphilia, it means that you're almost exclusively dependent on that particular thing to get you off. You need that, basically, to have an orgasm.
But don't people have multiple ones? Like, isn't there...
It's possible to have, it's possible to have multiple. It's not mutually exclusive. It can be very complicated. You can have all sorts of different ones coming together. But you still need that particular constellation of stimuli or whatever it is in the world to get you off. So...
Right.
One example is called emetophilia, and this is an erotic
attraction.
Emetophilia, which is from these are largely Greek terminology, and an emetic is, for example, something that makes you vomit. So people who are emetophiles are aroused by either feeling like they're vomiting, or the sensation of themselves vomiting on their partner, or having their partner vomit on them. And this is actually surprisingly one of the few paraphilias that I found in the literature was mostly manifested in women. There was a woman I remember who talked about growing up and going to Catholic school, and there was a particularly nasty nun who used to paddle her and those types of things, just like you experienced. And she saw her one.
Mine was a male principal though.
So this is a nasty nun apparently.
Okay, a nasty nun is paddling her, and what? It made her throw up.
Then one day I guess she saw the nun sick to her stomach and vomiting in the bathroom or something. And she took like the sadistic pleasure in seeing that.
Oh, she loved
experiencing that.
Yeah.
So she developed this whole thing for wanting her partners to vomit, and she became a lesbian as an adult. And had a nun fetish too.
Interesting. But, very interesting.
Yeah. All right. So I know you've been traveling. You're always going to clubs. You're always hanging out with other celebrities and stuff. Now be honest with me, because this is Dr. Zoe. This is us talking. So did the ashy guy, did it fuck with your game with the ladies? Like if you're with like Kevin Hart and Snoop and there's like some dime pieces and it's just like, oh, there's that ashy guy. Did it ever fuck with your game?
It never fucked with it, because you got to realize a lot of women like guys that they could help. If you're a dude that's moisturally challenged, see, it worked totally opposite of what you...
Coming from the guy who started Save a Bitch. Okay,
yes,
go ahead.
No, who started Save a Bitch is going to finish Save a Bitch. You got Snoop Dogg standing there, and you got Kevin Hart standing there. Both of them look like they don't need anything. Then you got Ashley Larry standing beside him. What are the women going to say? Damn, he looked like he could use a rub down. He looks like he could get some lotion. So it worked in my favor. And what chick don't want to lotion a man up? You tell
that's
me
true,
one chick
that's true,
don't
want to
lotion their man
so
up.
Have you gotten a lot
favor.
Of have you gotten a lot of cocoa butter as gifts over the years?
Yo, I was on lotion so hard. When I travel in my rider, I say that I want 20 ounces of lotion on ice before I ever hit any stage. So yes, I have got a lot of things, I won't say action, a lot of things in my favor because my skin is moisturally challenged.
So now you're going from ashy to classy, is that correct?
Yeah, ashy is, I'm always going to have an inner ash. It's good for every guy.
Inner ash.
Yep, an inner ash. That's the characteristic that women love. They look like, an ashy guy looks like a guy that's going to be something in life one day.
Mm.
He's going to work towards something.
One day. These guys
that are shiny and glistening and moisturized, don't trust those dudes. A dude that don't need no lotion anywhere in his body don't need a woman for anything. He got everything under control.
Okay, I want to get down to the nitty-gritty. I want you to tell me about your experiences, like, in discovering your sexuality. Like, what kind of... Describe the journey for us.
Well, after I came out at 19 to my mom, shortly after, I ended up dating a lesbian for a while. That was interesting.
okay.
And she was really masculine.
The mom's probably like, oh my gosh, you just told me you're gay. Now you're with a lesbian woman. Okay.
She totally was. She was like, I just got used to bringing home boys, and now you're bringing home girls that look like boys. Not to make the overgeneralization about lesbians, but it just so happened that my girlfriend, Rachel, was extremely butch.
Okay.
And it was so funny because it was total role reversal. She was much more of like the chivalrous stereotype of a character that masculine side of things, and I was much more of the feminine side.
What are your favorite sexual positions? Come on, Brian. It's the doctor today, so you know what you're signing up for.
Listen, I need a glass of wine or something right now. I'm way too sober for this conversation.
Have you followed up the partition, please? Do you think that that boys and girls, when they reach an age of becoming sexual beings or that sexual imprinting, do you think that they know whether they're going to be attracted to the same sex or the opposite sex? So in other words, in your research, do you believe that we're born gay or straight? Or do you think that it's circumstances or surroundings?
I think it's a complicated question. It's probably more complicated than many of us like to consider, actually.
That's why I asked you.
I think it's very fashionable to say that, people are born gay and so on. And I think there's a lot of persuasive emotional currency behind those types of arguments. Mm-hmm. However, I think it's impossible for me to say that I came out of my mother's womb, you know, attracted to men. I didn't, come out of the womb and immediately go into some sort of sexual testing apparatus where they see who you're attracted to, which sex you're attracted to.
Right.
But I do remember, being very young, probably about 6 or 7, and taking the clothes off my Superman doll and having no interest in my sister's Barbies or anything like that, and feeling like it was something that I needed to hide. That's not something that I had any control over. So whether it happened,
you were 6 or 7, and you were checking out Superman's cock to see what he was packing.
It was very disappointing, by the way.
And his muscles, flat. And his
the point is that I had no control over it, whether I was born that way or whether it happened in the first couple of years of my life.
Okay,
she was a woman that was out there in the streets that was having a lot of fun, which is nothing wrong with it. But at the same time, there was times when she would come to me and tell me, why can't I find a man? Mm-hmm. I'm looking for a man. Why is it so hard? These guys ain't shit. These dudes ain't loyal. And I told her, you got to change your thought process. Men can tell a desperate woman. If you're going out to a club and you're looking I'm going to get somebody for some money. Mm-hmm. I want to get this guy. We can smell that. Not to say
from
that we
a
want to
mile away. I always say that. You can smell desperation from a mile away.
You can smell it from a mile away. Not to say that we won't be engaged, but we won't want to engage with you in the way you want to.
Right.
So first off, I said, you can't look for a man to try to give you happiness. You have to find happiness
within
yourself. So you have to find your self-worth. You have to find things that motivate you, because that's the energy that we connect with. If we see a woman that's independent, a woman that's doing her own thing and that has her own mindset, we want to be a part of that. We don't want to be a part of just this bitch need us for everything. So going back to the young lady in that video, she was out there, and I knew somewhere deep down inside she had a good heart. She had a good heart. She had an opportunity to be loved. But until she found peace with herself, she wasn't going to find it.
Right.
I helped with that. And I also told her another art that she wants to learn. This is definitely a tough art, especially for the African-American community. She had to learn the art of shutting the fuck up at the right time. Because some women know when to shut the fuck up. But it's not that we want you to shut the fuck up all the time. It's at the right time. There's an art to it. You can talk, but please know the art of shutting the fuck up at the right time. And understand this art. There's a lot of women out there that they have all these demands. I want a man to treat me like this. I want a man to treat me like that. He needs to do this. But they don't ever ask themselves, what do they want to do for their man for them to want to do certain things? Of course, you want that queen treatment, but until you learn how to treat a man like a king, nobody's ever going to treat you like a queen.
How would you describe your relationship with him?
I think our relationship is great. I mean, we argue like any couple, none of which is about plastic surgery, by the way. It's just difficult when you have someone who's trying to come out, and, I always say, he always gives the analogy that if gayness was a swimming pool, he would be dabbling his foot in the kitty section, that's one foot, and I'm being flipped off the high board into the 10-foot portion of the pool.
We're talking to Brian Cheatham, who is the creative director of Chippendales. And what are some of the craziest things that happen on the road with the guys? Because I imagine being on the road and being on tour is totally different.
Yeah, oh gosh, some of the crazy stuff that happens.
I mean, do they have to kick out girls out of the hotel rooms and stuff?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I can tell you all this, but...
Don't mention names. Don't mention names.
All right, this was fantastic.
This
is fantastic. It was like Jerry Springer. I mean, I got my video camera out and I was taping this because one of my homeboys, he had double booked. All right, so he had told this girl, hey, come to the show, and we'll hang out afterwards. Well, he forgot that he had told another girl to come to the show also, so they're both at the show. So he told one girl, he was like, oh, shoot, I don't know what to do. So he just told the one girl, listen, I'm feeling sick. I'm not going to be able to hang out, so I'll check you later. So he goes back to the hotel with the other girl. So the other girl shows up in the same hotel because girls can get a little crazy like that. She's like, something don't sound right. And so she starts banging on his door because she hears something going on. He opens the door. The girl's in there. She goes in. starts fighting with the girl. My homeboy is like, yo, what's going on? It was crazy. So by this time, we hear the commotion going on, and everybody's outside watching this, and it was, I should have stopped
it. You know
what
I never can understand? Why does the girl fight with the other girl like it's the girl's fault? Okay? She's just a dumb bitch, like you. I mean, come on. Like,
she
was
playing. Because she don't want the girl. She wants the D.
I know, but still, the D is what's fucked up, not the girl. The girl didn't do shit. She's being played just like you're being played. Go after the guy. You know what I'm saying?
No, she's in the way.
I don't understand.
Your obstacles. In life, let me just teach y'all something. Ladies, let me teach you something. In life, you must remove the obstacle from what you want, from your goal. And your goal is to see, remove every obstacle.
Whatever, good luck with that. The more that you try to remove every obstacle and go after the D, the more he's going to be looking somewhere else for some other P.
Talk to him now.
That's true, it's true. Okay, so that's pretty freaking crazy, definitely. So did you get this on video for real?
Oh, I did, but that'll never be released until I do my documentary.
Yeah, but the confidential coach, I mean, I got dibs. I got dibs on that. Okay.
Okay, so this was the story of a sexual cannibal in Germany in the early, I think in 2002, 2003. He placed an ad online recruiting basically another gay man that wanted to be eaten. So he was the sexual cannibal, but there are also a class of people apparently out there in the world that desire to be or have parts of them eaten for sexual gratification, sort of the ultimate sexual gratification. So there was a response to this ad that he posted at this website called the Cannibal Cafe, which has since been removed. It was supposed to be a fantasy site.
So how long ago is this? When did this happen?
This was maybe 10 years ago or so.
Okay, gotcha.
And this young man volunteered to be eaten. He went over to the guy's house. And the sexual cannibal himself was actually, I mean, if you looked at him from an outside perspective, he looked like a normal guy. He was a computer programmer or an engineer or something like that.
Oh, my God.
And but he had he had some sort of really kinky, torture chamber
kinky
in his house.
Kinky is an understatement.
Yeah, kinky is
an understatement.
Little, little, little right,
so he has, like, a torture chamber and stuff?
Yeah, so basically, I cited this example because it actually poses somewhat of a philosophical problem in terms of defining harm clearly when we're talking about sexual deviance, because when it actually culminated, the event, the person who was eaten actually begged the cannibal to eat him. So it was definitely sort of a... It was a
mutual
volitional act. You know, consent. It was a two adult, consensual, consenting sexual partners. They dined on his penis together, I believe, before he was actually eaten.
They dined on his penis together?
Yeah, and I think the cannibal said it was sort of chewy or something along those lines. That's sort of a notorious comment on
my gosh.
Very disturbing.
So what happened? What's the end result? What happened to the cannibal?
The interesting thing again is the sort of philosophical dilemma. What do you do with this guy? Because he was engaged in a mutual consensual activity, but of course it was a criminal act in the sense of committing homicide.
Right.
I think he actually was sentenced to murder, and he was convicted of murder, sentenced to life in prison. But it didn't go without debate, I think, on both sides.
Yeah, I'm sure that, they have to be careful. Like, they had to be careful with locking him up, too, because, he doesn't want to, be around other prisoners and maybe try to eat somebody, crazy, crazy.
His fantasies to live with now.
Here on the Dr. Zoe Today Show, we try to encourage people to have long-term monogamous relationships. We have a good time, we cut up, but we also want to have a positive influence to really inspire and evoke change in people's, sexual consciousness, because we live in such an oversexed society with the media, with porn, with everything. So do you think that...
But with that said, if you're not happy, strap up and go in, son. Smash out.
But do you think think that people are loyal this day and age at all, like as far as like monogamous committed relationships?
I think one of the things that binds that more than anything, I think, really is religion. People, I think they're more, they would be more upset about betraying their God than betraying their partner.
Right.
And I mean, I just think that to naturally expect a man just to want to be one woman, I think that that's like
so you think far-fetched. That faith. So you think faith is a factor that'll keep a man or a woman in line? Also, I think
that's
maybe
not
if
always
have,
the case. That's yeah. not always the case, but I
oh,
think that
no,
that's
definitely
something.
Not. There's a lot of freaks in the church every Sunday.
I know, they turn it up, and if they turn it up, they turn it down, turn it down in church. They turn it down in hallelujah, amen, praise.
They're coming back from the club, rolling up in the church.
All you have to do is say, bless her heart, or bless his heart, at the end of anything. You could, he said, she got gangbanged last night, bless her heart. And people would be more accepting of it.
All right, but also I think people will stay faithful if they have, like, a good moral compass. It's not necessarily religion. Sometimes they're raised right.
They
got a good moral compass. Or if there's kids involved, that'll keep them straight.
I think everything that you're saying are things that force a guy to
be. But you don't think it's our natural, you don't think it's natural instinct.
I don't think that it's natural for a man.
Yeah, what you said,
what
you said the other day to me really fucked me up. It made me
like, I remember what I said.
Want to commit to anyone ever again. You told me what one of your mentors said.
There are exceptions to the rule, but this is one of my mentors started in comedy. He told me, this is when your career would take off. When you've banged everything you could bang, you've done everything, you've tried every position, you've done every height, you've done everything you could do. That's when your career takes off. And he said, just keep in mind, and you have to remember this, that, and this is for the women out here, and this may be hardcore for you, it doesn't matter how good you think your vagina is, it's never going to be better than new vagina. And that was the words.
My God.
Now you have situations, things that come in where you may not want to be experimental and try to find out that. But it's a man's instinct to want to capture. It's a man's instinct to want to hunt. You know what I'm saying? But and to be totally honest, and usually guys, the older you get, you know, once you've been out there and you've soared your oats, whatever, you've done everything you did, that's when you probably become a little bit more mature when it comes to, you know, your sexuality.
Right. Because a lot of my clients, a lot of men that I counsel, they're successful, they're out there, they've dated models, they've had it all. And then they're like, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of waking up with somebody new every morning. I've had all kinds of pussy, and I'm ready to find somebody to spend my life with. So I think after you sow your oats, maybe there is a time in a man's life where it's just like, whatever. But you're saying
you're saying,
I'm not going to shut the fuck up. Just listen. You're saying that no matter what we teach them here on Dr. Zoe Today, females, we teach them to do Kegel exercises, keep that pussy nice and tight. No matter if I tell them, keep some mystery about yourself. Don't overdo it. Don't give everything up to your man. Keep a little mystery because men are naturally hunters, and you got to keep that mystique about yourself. And let me teach you how to take care of yourself, and let me teach you how to, you know, if you're not giving head, you need to start.
Oh, wait a minute.
Head.
You didn't talk about that. Whoa. Slow down.
I got really involved in drag when I was a kid.
How old were you?
It was during that first relationship I had, so I must have been 18, 19 years old, and my friend brought me out to the clubs, and I was just so enamored by, like, the stage presence and the glamour and the whole show of having, holding everyone's attention and being so talented and artistic. I mean, it just takes so many different attributes to be able to pull that off and be great at it. And it was something that I knew I wanted to do.
Did you start dressing in drag at that point? Were you like in the shows? Did you start dressing in drag?
I started doing talent competitions in it. It wasn't just like I was dressing up to go out for the heck of it initially. I started doing talent competitions and attempted to get on a house cast, which I did pretty quickly. And I did drag professionally for about 4.5 years. And obviously that also helped on the income side of things and enabled me to travel a decent amount up and down the East Coast and perform.
Now, are you getting surgeries during this period of your life as well?
Well, I mean, I had my first nose job at, you know, 17, 18 years old. So I was doing procedures, not necessarily to feminize my body. I wasn't having hips done or breasts done, but you know, it ended up that I was always really attracted to like very masculine, if you want to say, quote unquote, straight or do I say curious, straight curious guys. And that was something that led me to find, I guess, a sense of acceptance and validation when I would get attention from those people. And I started to really go out in drag even when I wasn't getting paid. And
let me ask you this. Let's fast forward. So is this still something that you enjoy? Are you still getting dressed up in drag? Or is it that now you're getting these implants and these surgeries done, and it's like a different type of artistic expression? Or how is that metamorphosis happened with you as far as
I still do dress in drag on a rare occasion. I'll do, you know, a charity event or a fundraiser once or twice a year, but it's not to the extent that it was when I was in my 20s.
Why do you think it kind of fizzed out? Like, what do you think it was that kind of fizzed out for you?
You know, I felt that when I was in my 20s, even when I came out and started participating in nightlife and being around other homosexuals and other gays around me, that I really still didn't feel like I was accepted being an overly effeminate gay guy. And I ran into a lot of heartache with people saying, you know, why are you trying to talk like this? Why do you have a lisp? Why are your wrists broken? You know, why are you attempting to act like this? And I was just being me. But genuinely, it once again made me feel like I was on the outside. And then when I started dressing like a woman, I actually got all these people telling me, oh, you're so pretty and you're beautiful. And I was really skinny and lean. And it just seemed like the mannerisms and everything clicked, and what everybody else was telling me might have been true. Maybe I was born the wrong gender. And that just adds so much level of complexity to think that, like, wow, I actually could be born in the wrong body. But I never disliked my body. And what happened was over time, I ended up dating more mature guys. And I sort of sloughed off the people that were in my own age group, my peers. And I started dating more mature, polished men. And the truth is that those people worshipped me for those things that everybody else was telling me were wrong about me. And they really loved that I had a finesse about me, and I had a polish, and that I was overly groomed and overly upkept. And I didn't have to pretend to be somebody else. I didn't have to put on a costume to go out there and say that I was a drag queen. They genuinely were attracted to me for me,
for all the
attributes
right.
that I had. Yeah.
And that gave you the self-confidence in accepting yourself and seeing that, you know, you could be yourself and be accepted. So that was basically how it kind of phased out, is that you were able to just express yourself for Justin and who you were, and it was no longer needing to get dressed up for the acceptance. Is that correct?
Right. Totally. And it was really interesting for me that when I decided to have my tech implant, it was very much asserting the fact that this was a decision I was making to stay a guy. I was comfortable being a man, and this was only going to reinforce that.
Okay. Just for the record, though, so gender identity has been something that you have gone through as an individual.
Totally.
Okay. What would you say to them as far as, like, personal tips to men at home listening that want to keep their women satisfied?
You got to switch it up. You got to switch it up. You got to be sensitive to their needs. A lot of guys, they get bored, and they start looking other
routine.
Places.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they start looking other places and start looking at porn and start doing other things. It's like, you know, I think you need to include your women and your sexual fantasies.
There's another one that is a really interesting phenomenon. These are people called objectosexuals or objectophiles. And these are people who have relationships, basically. They feel sexually attracted to inanimate objects in their environment. So they feel like they have a relationship with a particular chair, for instance, or a particular ladder or a particular...
Do they grind and fuck the chair? I mean, like, how does this work?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's different than just sort of like a shoe fetish or a chair fetish or whatever, because in those cases, you're attracted to just, you know, the general category.
Okay.
With objectophiles, they want that
specific item.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes. So there's a woman that was, you know, she was in love, and she actually married the Eiffel Tower. Her name was Erica Eiffel. Went through a whole elaborate marriage ceremony. Then she got divorced, and she married, or maybe it happened the other way around, the Golden Gate Bridge.
And they think that these objects have personalities and temperaments and, of course, sexual feelings, too. And they have, and, you know, they view them
as monogamous or something. The psychological profiling on somebody like that would be extremely interesting. Okay, but as far as, there was another one. I heard you, I don't know what it was, but I heard something about someone throwing themselves down the stairs and that was the only way they could come, or what was that all about?
That's called climacophilia. And apparently, you know, these are people who, and I should say, you know, it could be just one or two people.
I'm sorry, the visual. The visual of just like someone, was it male or female, throwing themselves down the stairs to have an orgasm?
A male.
So he's like tumbling down the stairs and he busts a nut. Like that's the only way he could bust a nut or what?
Yeah, apparently. You know, it's probably not good to live in a one-story ranch house.
Oh, my goodness. I wonder how that came about.
So who did you think was going to be cool but was an asshole?
I want asshole's a tough word when I explain this. I was at a club in Miami one night and I was having a good time, right? And I'm around a lot of celebrities. I don't really get too starstruck unless it's somebody that I grew up watching and I admire. Mm-hmm. But I was in a club one night and I was having fun. I was with my girl, whatever. We VIP, we popping bottles, we doing whatever you do in Miami. And this tall, dark guy walked past and I was like, oh shit, I looked up, it was Michael Jordan. Right, and I was so listen to you. All I said was his name. You said that is so wrong. But I'm gonna be totally honest. You know,
That's a nice tall dark chocolate
look,
bar.
I'll be honest. You said you. I said by
yourself. That's like the ultimate chocolate bar right there. Okay,
but
go ahead.
Let me tell you something. I will say this, and I did. You know, I'm not attached to my sexuality, but when I did see Joy for a second, I was like, damn. I don't care who you are.
Did you get a witty? Did you get a semi?
That's just. Now you're exaggerating.
You know you got a little hard.
My forehead started sweat a little bit.
Oh,
that's Michael Jordan. Come on.
Okay.
I thought, because there's a lot of celebrities out here, a lot of names out here that are really fascinated and enjoyed the Chappelle Show, and this got me with some conversation with some like big names, and I thought when I saw Jordan, he would possibly be a fan of the Chappelle Show, so I went up to him. And I did every catchphrase I ever did on Chappelle's Show. I said, hit me two times. I'm rich, bitch! Right? And the last thing you want to do is look Michael Jordan in his face and say, I'm rich, bitch. That's Michael Jordan. And I could tell he didn't vocally say it, but his eyes looked like, I'm richer, bitch. And I think he went and plucked one of his cigar ashes on the top of my bald head.
Oh, shit.
I won't say that,
Is that bullshit?
No, that's the true story.
He asked on you for real.
He asked on you.
You were even more ashy that night, weren't you? So I'm very curious about this, and maybe you can call this the perv in Dr. Zoe. But so, like, when you're fucking and when you're like getting kind of rough, are you ever worried like about the implants in your body?
No, in fact, I always tell people harder. Never. If anything, it just acts like a bumper, just sort of like, it makes so they can't damage you. I look at them as body armor. So, you know,
okay,
I
mean, so like when you get, when they get rough with you, you're never like, don't mess up to him. Like, don't mess me up. Like, I'm a work of art here.
Only with my nose if I'm getting face fucked. That's hard. I have to be a little careful. I don't like getting rug burn on my nose.
You shared with me that you've never been married and you never had any babies. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, especially for a black guy, people are like, how the hell did that happen? But it was one of those.
You don't got no babies out there hiding. No babies.
No, that's, people always say that. You got any babies? Not that I know of. Not that I know of. And if you show me a picture of an oily baby, there's no way I was going to claim it. You got to show me a picture of a 13-year-old teenager that doesn't wear lotion, and then that's when I'm going Maury Povich and say I want a damn DNA test. That don't look nothing like my baby. Look how oily that his skin is. That don't look nothing like my baby.
If you have a question you want my guests and I to answer on the Dr. Zoe Today app, right on it, you can click on Ask Dr. Zoe, submit your question there, or you could go to drzoetoday.com.
Okay, Alicia writes in. She put, why doesn't my boyfriend orgasm when I give him head?
Because you're doing it wrong.
Okay, I would say, wait.
I would say this. Okay, number one, maybe you're not doing it right. And what you could do, I wrote a blog about the art of oral. You can go to Zoelena.com. It's Zoelena.com. And look up the blog, The Art of Oral. It'll give you all the details, all the juicy details, very, you know, how to give head, okay?
If not,
it might be that he jerks off a lot, and he's desensitized his dick, and he's used to lefty. That happens sometimes. I mean, it happens. It happens where guys are so used to coming from jerking off, then they're with somebody, they're either having sex, and she doesn't specify. If he's having an orgasm with vaginal sex and just not oral sex, then I wouldn't worry about it as much. It's probably just that you're not giving good head, which you could learn how to give good head. But if he's not orgasming with you at all, then it might be that he's just desensitized his penis and he jerks off a lot or something like that. What do you think?
And there you go. It's hard to answer because every guy is different.
True.
I don't think it's like she may get the best head in the world, but some dude, like, he may drink a lot. You know what I mean?
Or he's old.
Jan wrote in, I recently moved in with a man I happily dated for 8 months. After about a week of living together, I discovered he had large holes in the pockets of every single pair of pants he owned, always on the left side. When I asked him about it, he told me it was so he could masturbate in public places. It grossed me out, and I have been staying with my mother for 2 weeks because of it, as I already gave up my condo. Ooh. I'm wondering if I'm right and it's disgusting, or is it more common than I think? I say more common than you think. What do you say, Jesse?
I don't think that there are any exact statistics on this. I think it's an interesting question because it, to me, it gets really at the heart of harmfulness. I mean, the things that make that sort of creep us out and seem that are sort of intuitively disgusting, like this for this woman, if she tried to articulate why it's wrong, I think that she would probably have a hard time doing so. Because he's doing this in his own private, subjective fantasy world.
He's playing pocket pool privately.
I mean, if he's doing it with sort of discretion and people aren't aware of what's happening,
yeah,
then, you know, what's the harm, really? I think that the fact that it makes us deeply uncomfortable, it's not a good reflection of whether it's right or wrong. And I think that she just has to ask herself, what sort of things is she into that he doesn't know about that could make him feel similarly or other people
right.
would judge
well,
her.
Good point.
Way.
That's a very good point.
Okay, James writes in. He says, my penis is on the small side, and I'm looking into having penis enlargement surgery. I'm wondering if you have heard of any success or horror stories with this procedure.
Tons. I love reading up about phalloplasty. So there are lots of different things you can do. There are solid silicone implants you can do. There's fat transfer, you do silicone injections. They run the gamut. Alloderm sheets, which is basically sterilized cadaver skin, they implant for girth and or length, depending what you're trying to do. There are even testicular implants for gentlemen
yes.
who want a more weighty
yes.
look to,
yes.
to their scrotum. So
right.
it's all out there. In all honesty, there's a lot of variation in what I've seen the outcomes be, and different people have different expectations of that procedure too. So I think it's really on a case-by-case. I don't know if there's any one thing that I would say seems to work even 90% of the time as well as most men would hope. It doesn't ever seem to be an easy journey, but you can definitely make an improvement upon. Some people go overboard. I have one friend who has a 13-by-16-inch penis. So
holy
it all depends
shit.
What you're
what?
Trying to achieve.
Wait, what?
I
13
do.
By 16?
13 around by 16 long when he's erect, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Next. Susan. Susan says, I love my husband very much, but when I'm intimate with him, I always fantasize about other men. I always feel ashamed afterwards that I just couldn't be in the moment with my husband. Is that normal? Yes, it's very normal and nothing to be ashamed
Absolutely.
Of. What would you say?
Absolutely. Listen, it's normal. Don't feel bad about it. Embrace it. At least, listen,
And I had this conversation with somebody the other day. They're like, well, if you think about it, it's cheating. No, it's not. Think about it. Here's the deal. Don't tell him you're thinking about it. Nobody wants to hear that. Your thoughts are your thoughts. You know what I'm saying? You can't feel bad for thinking a certain way.
I agree with you, and I disagree with you. I agree with you. You should not feel bad. It's totally normal. But I also think that people need to be more open-minded. Divorce is insane. I had a guest on last week that said there's like, I don't know, like there's tons of single people in the United States. We obviously, marriages are not working, and we need to redefine what the fuck marriage is. So why not, you know, spice things up and talk dirty in bed and talk about your fantasies. And, you know, maybe that's totally like, you know, he wouldn't be into that and, you know, whatever. But try. Like,
Dr. Joey, no way. What? Time
out. Oh, okay. When I was married, I would be like, baby, I would talk about everything in bed. And he loved it. He loved it. I mean,
he loved hearing you fantasize about another dude?
But I would throw some chicks in there sometimes too.
Now if that's the case, absolutely talk about it.
Okay, there's a difference between physically having sex with someone else and cheating on your partner and fantasizing. Fantasy is what it's all about. You got to bring fantasy into the bedroom and say, baby, like, this is just dirty time. This is just our naughty time. This is just talk. Yeah. It's just fantasy. It's not reality. It's just so we can get off together.
Donnell, are you ready?
I was born ready, woman.
Okay, all right. So we got a question from Mike. It says, I'm a club promoter and I hook up with different women every weekend. The problem is I can never get them to leave my crib in the mornings. How can I nicely get them to leave, especially since they never look the way they did in the club? It's honestly kind of scary. I woke up like this. Okay, so
I woke up like this.
I know. I want to do a spoof on that, and I want my hair to be all messy and my mascara, you know, like down on my face, like I just fucked all night and just sing that song. Alright, so what do you say? What's a nice way to get a bitch to leave in the morning? And I shouldn't say that. Let's say, how do you handle that situation?
This is like an old school way. You could just have one of your boys call you at a certain time. If you want her up like 9 o'clock, you know, he can call you like at 8 o'clock and say some type of catastrophic emergency down at the club or something like that. That could be a good way. Or you could, all depends on how big your space is, you can have your mom come up for a week and have her in one room. You know what I'm saying? And then all of
that
a sudden,
would work.
Like,
that
no
would work.
Chick, if you've been scandalous the night before that quick, nobody wants to have a conversation with your mother about what you want for breakfast. Or you could say, be straight up. This is one, and they get the message. After you've had crazy hot sex all night, whatever, and you know that point where you look up in the ceiling and everything, and she's laying there like, what's going to do next? Just say to her, what you about to do. And if a woman doesn't know, that means get the fuck out. Then, you know, you don't know that person. You probably don't know them anyway.
Right.
Just tell them to leave, son.
Yeah,
that's it.
Okay. All right, Jason writes in, I'm hopelessly turned on by shemales. I would instantly turn gay for one, even though I have never sucked a dick or had gay sex. It's the only porn I watch, but I would never want to be with a regular man. So does this make me bisexual?
No, actually, this is really interesting because it is kind of a puzzle if you think about it. Why otherwise, you know, very heterosexual men would be attracted to the...
But there's a penis involved. So
the interpretation is that it triggers our sperm competition psychology from a man's perspective.
Sperm
because first of all, you've got this beautiful.
That's your next book.
You've got this beautiful woman. You know, she's got these gorgeous breasts, and she's got a very feminine face, and she's dressed like a woman. And all of a sudden, she pulls down her pants, and she's got a big penis. This basically tricks your mind into thinking that there's a man having sex with this beautiful woman and you're competing with that man. So that actually makes you even hornier in terms of what we talked about earlier with the shape of the penis and thrusting deeper, mm-hmm. And turning you on even more. So
now, aren't they men that have breast implants and hormone therapy and things like that?
isn't that what a she male is?
No, and there's all sorts of
or it could be a female that had a penis implant.
I mean, it could be somebody sort of post or pre-op in terms of being a transsexual male to female.
Okay, so it's a male that is pre-op.
In this case, yeah. I mean, if she actually does have her own, if she does anatomically have breasts, and it's not just sort of makeup and everything, she's not, it's much more than just simply being like a drag queen.
Right. Okay, I say that I hate labels. Like, I don't condone, I do not like labels. I think we're each individuals and we're all different. But, I mean, I would say that if you say you would turn gay for a shemale in an instant and there's a penis involved, I mean, there's got to be some kind of, like, bisexual thing there. But Jesse says no.
I don't think so, actually. No, I don't think so. I think that there's actually a very large contingent of completely straight men that are
totally
really
write a book on this,
by,
Jesse. Totally.
Yeah, that are really turned on by the female porn, yeah.
Okay.
All right, Nikki writes in, I'm engaged to be married this fall. My fiance and I were having a discussion last week, and he told me that he had a sexual relationship with another man in college 10 years ago that lasted 3 months. He says it was just a phase and it'll never happen again, but I cannot let it go. What if he turns gay on me when we're married? Okay.
First of all, she should be happy that she's got a man that's honest with her. For a dude to tell
Amen.
Her that, that's
yeah.
a lot. So that
yeah,
means
true.
She's got a man, he's not trying. What you should be worried about is if he didn't say anything and he's a down low brother. Because that happens. Because you know what? Because most of the time that a dude leaves a woman in marriage, you know, she didn't know about it, he was already doing it.
Yeah.
So he's an open and honest guy, it sounds like to me. And
yeah,
he wants
I mean,
to be with her.
It does say a lot that he told you, and just because it happened 10 years ago and it hasn't happened again and he told you it was a phase. Now, first of all, number one, we all have our checker. We all have our, like we said, God-given discernment, intuition, gut feelings, whatever you want to call it. So go with your intuition, because when I'm reading this and she says, right here, she says, I can't let go of it, but I cannot let it go. I cannot let it go. Nikki, it sounds like you're looking for an excuse. Maybe you're
yeah.
the one getting cold feet, because if you can't let it go, you're going to bitch about this for the rest of his life. And your poor
yeah.
fiance, listen, I've had sexual relations with women 10 years ago, a year ago. I'm not gay. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make
yeah.
you gay just because he went through a phase and he experimented, and it was 10 years ago in college and he was honest with you about it. I mean, seriously, go with your intuition. If you're like hanging out and you're like, ooh, he's hot, and he's like, oh yeah, he is, I'm like, okay, then maybe you shouldn't marry the guy. Or if he's like, you see him like, he's not glancing, you know, at the women, he's glancing at the men, then okay, maybe there's a problem. But if there's nothing like that, and he was honest with you about this, and this was just a phase in college, you have nothing to worry about, and maybe you need to check yourself, because...
Check
you know,
yourself, baby.
Yes,
I just,
yes,
I love
yes.
it. Listen, and I hope she does, and I hope the listeners know, you know, that's the way that she thinks, that mentality, is the reason why sometimes guys aren't honest, or women aren't
exactly.
honest.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
when you find somebody that is comfortable with themselves
yeah.
and is comfortable with you and loves and trusts you enough to share that type of information, they sound like a pretty good person to me.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really, I had someone recently tell me that she shared with her boyfriend of 3 years recently that she was abused as a child sexually. And I said, you know what, honey? I said, you love that man. That is the man. If you feel like you could share, she said it was the first person she told. The first person she told. So when someone shares intimate situations and information about themselves with you, you know that that person loves and trusts you. So, yeah. So if you can't let go of it, then you've got a problem, seriously.
Samuel writes in, he put, I want to break out in the adult entertainment industry, but I feel like no one will take me seriously because not only am I black, but I'm a little person, but I have a full-size penis. and I'm really good in bed. Dr. Zoe, do you have any connections or advice? First of all, I would say don't give up on your dream, little man with the big penis. Don't give up on your dream. And I don't have any connections for you. That's not my forte. But I will say, you know, I'm sure that that's already out there. I'm sure there's a little people porn industry somewhere that you could find out about. Donnell, you know anything about this? What you got to say to Samuel? Samuel's a little man.
I'll say, you know, like, I don't know who wants to be a porn star. I have a friend that's a porn star. And the way he got discovered, this girl sat on his lap. She was like, damn, you should do porno. The same girl sat on my lap was like, damn, you should tell jokes. So, you know what I mean? I don't know if I connect with you in that sense or whatever, but get some references. I think you know that you could possibly have a porno career when chicks start saying, damn, you should put that dick on film. And if they say that, then you just, you know, send out a YouTube joint. Get social media involved, son. Go out there. Let the streets call for you.
There you go. Okay, one more question. Brett, I'm married to a very classy, beautiful, successful woman for almost 10 years. About a month ago, one of her friends brought up something in a conversation that I had no idea of. There is an easily accessible video from the mid-90s of my wife having sex with a donkey. I know it was a long time ago, but I'm more upset about this than I would be if she was cheating on me our entire relationship. I cannot let it go. I guess I'm asking for a voice of reason.
Well.
Okay, I say dump the bitch. Every time you have sex with her, all you're going to see in your mind is donkey dick. So there's no way you're going to, if you even said in the question you can't let it go, then you need to move on, I say. But, you know, let's see what Jesse says.
I don't know. I mean, to me, again, it sort of comes down to the question of harm. You know, Jesse, I spent some time in the book talking about the stallion. It wasn't easy for me.
Which book?
And Perv. And,
okay.
It wasn't easy for me because I personally find it really aversive and off-putting and you know, I hesitate to say disgusting, but I kind of do. But from a logical sort of rationalist perspective, I also understand that you have to look at the situation on a case-by-case basis. And if, you know, what she's doing with that donkey is not inherently hurting that donkey and could in fact be interpreted as bringing it pleasure, then, you know, then it becomes more of just sort of a social stigma in terms of her having sex with another species.
So, Brett, every time you talk to her, just, like, get in bed, and while you're fucking, just be like, hey, was it fun getting that donkey off? Not. I don't think that's going to work. I understand from your point of view.
There are plenty of men, you know, that I guess are turned on by this sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Brett, I say let her find somebody that is turned on by the fact that she's been with the donkey.
I think I probably would agree, just for example.
Tune in next time for real, raw, relevant information about love, sex, and relationships.
Driver, roll up the partition, please. Uh-huh. Blind your rearview mirrors with the end of my sleeve. Uh-huh. The shit that's on my wrist you probably wouldn't believe. Uh-uh. Every symbol of success levels you couldn't achieve. Driver, roll up the partition, please. Uh-huh. I'm alarmed at how she's looking and she's starting to breathe. Move my arm and grab my John and now she's starting to squeeze. She dropped to her knees, uh-huh. Fulfilling my needs. Uh-huh. She's swallowing my seed. Uh-huh. She's ready to go.
Let's go.
Partition is up.
Uh-huh.
The curtains is closed.
Okay.
Mommy nice with it like she played for the pros.
That's right.
She gagged from her throat while she breathed. Through her nose.
Oh, shit.
She's starting to choke.
Uh-huh.
She curling her toes. Look how she trying to cook it all down. Come out your clothes.
That's right.
I waited for a second and I thought for a minute. Ain't no loving good enough to give her while I'm up in it.
Tell them, B.
Drive her on at the partition, please. Drive her on at the partition, please.
Azealia.
Banks.
Stress never the sex better, the sex weather. Check cheddar, et cetera, et cetera. Bet you could get severed and left steady. Slept stepping, I crip crepping, the 6-7. These niggas be puffing, they piffing the public. They digging the lust in the feminine strut and she hitting the button. I dip in the function, I'm proceeding, I'm pumping the tit in the rump and I'm flipping, I'm dumping, I'm tricking and trumping them. But if these niggas wanna spin eight cheese, tell them it's a blue Miss AC. Very heavy-headed dick take heat. I'ma flip out if a bitch play me.
Drive her on at the partition, please. Drive her on at the partition, please. I don't need you seeing your day on her knees. 45 minutes to get all dressed up. We ain't even gonna make it to this club.